The all-new 2015 Mercedes-Benz C-Class has arrived at Mercedes-Benz Oakville. Over 100 C300 and C400 models are incoming or in stock. This incredible new vehicle comes with attractive introductory lease rates and surprisingly low payments. Contact Mercedes-Benz Oakville to arrange your test drive. Winner of the Star Dealer Award for an unprecedented fourth year in a row, Mercedes-Benz Oakville delivers an award-winning sales and service experience. Experience the difference for yourself at QEW and Dorval Drive in Oakville or at mboakville.com.
Nobody does it better. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
All right, welcome once again to Hockey Central at noon. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard. Around the table looks a lot like Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock
Do Eastern. These people know what they've done?
John Shannon and PJ Stock, the People's Republic
the
of...
Pain.
Look at you, Peach. In early on, I know, look at you. It's not even
no other clothes, huh?
No other clothes. This is all I got.
Did you wear that last night on
I
Hockey
did.
Central?
I'm wearing it tomorrow.
Okay.
What? I'll be wearing it tomorrow what? As well. We got a big day tomorrow, you this, and I.
Yeah, well, we do.
We do. Jeff has an easy one. We got the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow.
Are you doing the Habs game in the afternoon?
Yes, we are. And then we carry you from 5 to 6.
I know. Yeah, well, I'll be doing the Erie Otters, Kingston Frontenac's game, Friday Night Hockey tonight alongside Monsieur Shannon.
Hey, by the way, that game's not only on Sportsnet across the country, it's also on our friendly network in the United States, on the NHL Network USA. Good chance for everybody to get a good look at a couple of big draft picks.
Connor McDavid, Lawson Crouse, Dylan Strome.
Yeah.
And maybe throw Travis Dermott in there for a little bit of spice. Might be a low first or a high second rounder. Meanwhile, about last night, we'll talk about the Winnipeg Jets dropping their second in a row, losing to the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll talk a little bit about the Montreal Canadiens being bailed out once again by Carey Price. Stop me if you've seen that movie before. And
can't you just say they won?
They won on the back of Carey Price. Stop me if you've seen that movie before. Nice goal by Max Pacioretty. It's the big talk in Toronto. It's the goal heard around the world. We've seen goals like this before where the defenseman fakes the hard rim it around the glass and then changes the angle and tucks it in the far corner. Oliver Ekman-Larsson, who, John, I know you love and have been raving about for a couple of years now, scores on Jonathan Bernier yesterday. Then he lets another softie from the side. Just when you think the wheels can't come off the wagon in Toronto in any more a unique and disturbing fashion, last night they did.
R.A. Dickey would have been proud of that one. when you consider, it was a little, the dip in it. It was, I guess I just don't know where Bernier's head was. I assume he thought it was going wide first, right?
He's cheating on that, right, Peach?
I'm trying my best to defend. Last night, I was. There's no excuse for it. Now this morning, I understand things aren't going well. If a forward makes a mistake on the play, a defenseman makes a mistake on the play, which we do all the time, the goalie always saves us. Always saves our mistakes. There's 10 mistakes before there's a shot on net. I mean, that is just a glaring mistake.
I actually didn't think he thought it was going to be on net, and that's why he probably played it light.
It's a brain cramp.
If you look at Ekman-Larsson, like his body language is, I'm going around the boards, I'm dumping the puck in.
Yeah.
What does Bernier do? Of course, instinctively cheat to that side, start to come out.
But this goes to a deeper message that is coming out of the Maple Leaf room is can this team focus? How does this team focus? When will this team focus? I mean, if you're Peter Horacek, when do you wave? I mean, I know he never will. This guy's a guy that thinks positively as much as you can.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, it's got to be getting to you now.
You know what? Watching Phil Kessel play the way he's played last little while, a lot of guys on that team, Bernier's allowed to make that mistake. I'll give him the pass because of the play in front of him. I'm never really given a pass on any play, but it has to be frustrating as a goaltender on this team watching some of those players in front of him and their lackluster effort night after night. The leaders not standing up for each other on the team, standing up for themselves. No one in front of them saying, let me grab the bull by the horns and try and change the momentum of this team. The group and their leadership, top to bottom, has driven this team into potentially talking about the junior game that you guys were talking about tonight. A draft pick, maybe. It has been so bad, and they are way too good to be bad.
But here's the other thing. If you have, and this is beating a real dead horse, if you have a team that leads the National Hockey League for as long as the Leafs did in scoring goals, And you know very well that they have an inferior defense, and or they play an inferior style of defensive hockey. Why do you make them play defensive hockey? Why don't you just say, we are going to be the run-and-gun Toronto Maple Leafs, pray that Bernier and Reimer, when he plays, can stop as many goals as he can, and see what you live with.
Probably because that's not a long-term solution for what this team needs. That's akin to being penny wise and pound foolish. Let's worry about the 2 points today as opposed to the long game, which is how are we going to get this team to a position where over the next 5, 7, 8, 10 years, they can be competitive.
So you are saying then that they are rebuilding.
It would appear so to me. Yeah. Would it not to you?
I don't even know if they're rebuilding. They don't have...
Stylistically, they
don't
stylistically,
have...
Stylistically, they're... Having said they gave up 40 shots again last night.
Do they have a number one goalie?
But Peter,
we don't know.
Do they have a number one defenseman?
No.
Do they have a number one center?
No.
I mean, they have a coach who is...
Interim.
Yep. They have a general manager who's kind of... Sorry if he's listening, but I got a feeling he's done at the end of this year. They have a president who's in his first year as well. They have assistant coach that have just been put on as well, not hired by the coaching staff. Yeah. It is what it is. Let's stop, you know, making this horse, flogging your dead horse there. Let's not make the horse look sound pretty. It is an ugly, ugly horse, and it needs to be kicked, and kicked hard.
Yeah. I know you guys won't really identify with this analogy.
Okay.
These guys are the New York Knicks of hockey. You know, they went out and got Phil Jackson to run the Knicks, thinking that they'd sign Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, Phil Kessel's playing the role of Carmelo Anthony. They are the Knicks. It's scary.
If by Knicks you mean a bunch of players who are miscast, because I don't think players like, I know we always get, everyone gets on Phil Kessel, and everyone gets on Dion Phaneuf. I don't think they're bad players, but in the positions they're in, they're not right for those spots.
I agree with you completely. I mean, I think everyone's miscast. I think that the domino effect of saying to somebody, Jeff, that you know, you're going to have to play 24, 25 minutes, they are just putting people in precarious positions on a nightly basis. And, I mean, the one thing I would say is that, you know, when you look at the young guys that they brought up, like Petter Granberg came up and played in New Jersey, at least that's the I paid more attention on Wednesday than I did last night. Petter Granberg didn't embarrass himself.
No, acquitted himself fine.
Yeah.
And they've done that, bringing the guys up like the pepper and parsley and the soup, and here's Sam Carrick and here's Josh Levo, and in for a taste, and then back down to the Marlies.
Yeah. I one would expect between now and March the 2nd, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be great trading partners around the league. They have to be.
Where are you guys at with Jonathan Bernier? I know PJ said, you know, you give him a mulligan on the Oliver Ekman Larson goal, but you can't give him a mulligan.
I don't really give him a mulligan, but I'm trying to. Today I'm trying to.
Why are you so nice today?
I'm trying to stuck on him because, you know what? There's so many bonehead plays in front of him all year.
But it's not as if that's the one. It isn't as if he had a great January.
No.
Like, no. January's been a soft month for the entire team, him included.
You know the one guy taking money from the Maple Leafs that had a great January? Randy Carlyle.
Because he didn't have the headache every morning, didn't have the stress.
And he took the paycheck.
Yeah.
He had a great January. You know, he did. Compared to everybody else in this organization. And
everyone from Jonathan Bernier to Phil Kessel to Carlton the Bear, feeling the stress.
I don't know how you fix it. Like, I really, I look up and down this roster right now. Like I said, I don't think Bernier is the number one. I really don't.
I don't think we know yet. I don't think we can say
conclusively. He can be a half.
I think we just don't know.
I don't. Listen, there are the malaise in this organization is so deep. Like I think Bernier has the potential to be a number one.
Potential,
goal
maybe.
But I also think when you realize that he has an expiring contract, you know, he's probably thinking that, boy, you know what, we're gonna do some better things. What mental strain is going through him when he realizes, holy smokes, with this team playing in front of me like this, how much money have I lost? The Leafs basically own him for one more year, but when you sign that 4-year deal, you're expecting the team to buy 3 years of unrestricted free agency. He's lost millions of dollars in my mind this season.
The thing is, but having the Maple Leafs put in a position where he can actually earn money now, I mean, he was essentially Martin Jones with the LA Kings. If they didn't remove him out of that situation, he wouldn't even be making the money he's making now.
Well,
that's assuming that there's only two teams that he was going to.
Edmonton was interested. Could have gone to Edmonton, and that's not exactly...
I hope Damian Cox isn't listening right now.
No, he's not.
What's up?
Was this team better with Colton or McLaren on the fourth line? With less talented players?
I don't know in the NA. It's funny. We were talking about that last night because we did the Anaheim San Jose game, and our producer Brian Spear was getting in our ear at one point saying, isn't it remarkable that out of all the fourth line, quote unquote, tough guys, right?
John
the Gorillas,
Scott.
John Scott remains.
Yeah.
Out of all of them, because it seems as if that role and that player doesn't have a spot anymore. Yet for some reason, maybe the guy who had the least amount of hockey skill stays in John Scott.
No, Bruins aren't the same. Sean Thornton's not there.
And listen, Bruins January was great.
Right.
You know what? They turned it around. And look at last night, they went into Nassau Coliseum and handed the Islanders only their fifth loss at home.
Yeah.
Bruins are tucked away.
No, Krejci and Chara for the first, and McQuaid was banged 100%. Up for the first, I guess, half of the first.
And they got
half
over the Boychuk hump. Yeah. I think Boston's doing okay.
Again, to me, it goes back to not necessarily having the philosophy of tough guys. It's whether you want to play a run and gun style hockey versus defense first.
You know what?
I think that I truly believe there were people in this organization for the longest time that knew they couldn't play a strong defensive style of hockey.
The one thing about the offense, which I look at this team and I always compare it to Montreal because that's where I live and I compare it to the Canadiens, they have a lot. The players are more talented on this team. They have more talent than
Montreal?
Individual players, like the talent-wise, the skill set.
That list is pretty short, PJ.
I mean, take away the high end of Price, Subban, Markov. But, I mean, you go through the goal scoring. That's why this team could score so much.
Let me ask you a question. Who would you rather have, Max Pacioretty or Phil Kessel?
Max Pacioretty.
Right.
Okay. Well, so...
Today I would.
But who would you rather have, Alexander Galchenyuk or Nazem Kadri?
See, we're two for zero.
I'm
going to run the table on PJ here.
Well, name me a winger after Pacioretty in Montreal that you'd want. And that's the big.
Do you consider David Desharnais a winger?
I like Brendan Gallagher, boy. I like Brendan Gallagher.
Yeah.
I mean,
they just can't score. And that's why we go back how we started the show. Yeah. It's the same show every night in Montreal.
Right.
Because, but they have Carey Price.
Yes.
And no, again, last night, same thing.
Everybody else better.
Would you rather win 1-0 or, you know, and playing the way they played? That was a heck of a hockey game last night at the Garden. Both goaltenders up until the Henrik's gaffe on the Pacioretty goal.
That's a weird one. That's not a Lundqvist goal. That's eesh.
He handcuffed him right in that
good
spot.
Shot.
Yeah, it was. But, and you know what? It's the old lesson. If you don't be afraid to put the puck on net. It just may go in.
But going back to, and they're allowed to play that system in Montreal because of what they have on the back end.
100%.
And I think you're saying, listen, they're poor defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Toronto, so we got to open up run and gun.
Yeah.
The one thing, though, in hockey, though, that can be taught is defensive systems. You have to play them. I took slap shots my entire life. I still can't take a slap shot.
Actually, you know what? We might have to work on that for tomorrow.
First of all, have you ever seen a man strut and grovel at the same time like PJ just did?
It's just, no.
I played in the NHL. I took slap shots. I can't take slap shots.
Have you watched our show Saturdays at 5?
I'm there occasionally.
So they're at a point where, you know, I can be taught to stand in this position to stop John from trying to get to the net.
Yeah.
You have to work with me in case he goes that way. It's the basketball, 5-on-5, cover the basket. Same thing in hockey, cover the house. That stuff is coachable. The stuff on the other end, you're blessed. You are blessed with, you know, JVR driving that, those soft hands, putting it up.
Yeah.
That is something that you are blessed with.
Right.
Defense play is very coachable. The hard part is the sacrifice of you willing to play.
So how long does a team need to have to learn how to play defense?
Well, that's my thing. It's they know how to play. Do they want to play?
But here's the thing about you guys will get this a lot more than I will. I'm not a golfer. You guys are both golfers. Is this like changing a golfer's swing? What's happening to the Maple Leafs mid-season, all of a sudden, boom, we're playing a completely different style. Is that what it's like? Every time I talk to my golfer friends and someone's working them and changing the swing, it is hard.
Oh, sure.
Is this the same thing? Are the Maple Leafs essentially changing the golf swing?
I've never changed my swing. I will
tell you right now, it might be easier to change the swing because you can get one body going and using different muscles to work and pull in the same direction. To PJ's point, you have to wonder if this team will ever pull in the same direction, right?
Good point.
That's right. I mean, and so when you have guys that, you know, a guy like Jake Gardner, will he ever know how to play on the right side of the puck? As a guy who's willing,
because I think there's a difference there, and I think at times he's been accused of not wanting to be on the other side of the puck because that hurts.
I will tell you right now, Jeff, I'm asking will he ever now rather than willing, because shouldn't he have gotten it by now, even with the previous coach, even with the coach that he had in the minor leagues? Shouldn't he know by now that how to play defensively? I mean, he's a grown man. He's making millions of dollars. When is he accountable for that? On the periphery, when you watch this team, the guy I'd be concerned about is Morgan Rielly. Is it helping Morgan Rielly to be in this environment? You know, what do they do to try to correct it long term so that they can build on a guy like Morgan Rielly?
I would suspect play the way that the Maple Leafs are trying to play now, which is more defensively oriented.
Well, then we shouldn't complain. Well, then we shouldn't complain about the losses.
Oh, I don't think you should. If you're a Maple, listen, we'll talk about the McDavid. I know you call it the McEichel.
McEichel, come on, it's McEichel.
From last night. But honestly, like, when is a loss a win and a win a loss? You can make the argument right now for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Every loss is a win. Last night, Edmonton, quote unquote, did they win the McEichel Bowl last night, or did they lose the McEichel? Like, did Buffalo win that game last night? Really?
It's so hard going into that game where you really want to lose as an organization.
But not as a player.
And that's what makes it really hard on Teddy Nolan, because he's a real fired-up coach.
I think there are two lists of guys. There's the guys with the long-term deal, like Pouliot in Edmonton.
Yep. Okay.
He's there for 5 years. I'm not sure he wants to win his bet. And this is just so funny because
who's the guy that shows up big last night? Anton Lander.
I know.
Who's the guy who's nip and tuck to make it in the lineup?
Anton Lander. I know. It's
kid. Putting you on, but we don't want you to work that hard. Yeah. Slow down out there. What do you mean, coach? 110%. I need to work hard. Slow down.
Nick, kid, your right hand shot. All we have is left hand sticks. Here you go. Good luck, kiddo.
Look at the two coaches. Look at, you know, Ted Nolan and Todd Nelson.
Yep.
What are they trying to do? I mean, are they trying to prove themselves as coaches? Are they trying to make sure that people around them know that they know how to strategize and motivate? Or are they thinking, well, am I auditioning for my own team, or am I auditioning for another team?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it's such a contradiction game. It's unbelievable.
Do you really believe that McEichel can change either of these two teams that played last night, Edmonton? Because Edmonton they've had four of the last six first overall picks.
Yeah, but I got to give you some credit because...
Hold on. Here comes the first. Is the red button record?
Red. Hit red.
Go ahead.
When you broke down the last 6 years of draft picks and the timing of the Oilers picks the previous year or the year after... Yeah. When you consider that the year that they took, for the sake of argument, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, they could have had, if it was the year before, it would have been
Stamkos
or John Tavares. I mean, you're going, timing is everything. Well, I'll tell you what, timing is everything with Connor McDavid. And
here's the thing. If you're the Buffalo Sabres, okay, think about this. If the NHL is being won down the middle, and you do need to have a goaltender as well, you look down the middle of the Buffalo Sabres, if they win the McDavid Derby and get Connor McDavid. Down the middle, you have Connor McDavid, Sam Reinhart, and Zemgus Girgensons. In 5 years, I'll put that center troika against any middle of the ice in the Western
Conference. Give the Sabre fans credit. I think the Sabre fans, Oilers fans do too, so that this is not a knock at Edmonton. But the Sabre fans have been given the right information and taught the right thing, and the Sabre fans are so darn patient right now. They understand the long-term goal of Tim Murray and the organization.
John, they brought Erie in for a game to see McDavid. They brought Eichel in the prospects for the U.S. to see Jack Eichel. Like, they have chummed the waters perfectly in Buffalo.
I think what they have tried to do in Buffalo to nurture and even bringing Teddy Nolan back in the short term to, you know, bring back some nostalgia of some winning opportunities. I think Buffalo has done a really smart job in trying to, you know, maintain your season ticket base, keep hockey fans interested in Western New York, and then at the right time be able to push the right button.
Is that not the hardest thing in any rebuild, though, being honest with your fans? Buffalo's done it perfectly. Buffalo's done a magnificent job, but isn't that the hardest thing? How do you massage that message so your season ticket holders don't get their subscription and say, I'm paying how much for this?
Tim Murray is the right guy at the right time in the right city. Because who is more frank, who is more upfront than Tim Murray?
They came out and tried to buy success, and it didn't work. You know, Vili Leino, they got air off.
That was owner-driven.
They realized it didn't work.
Yeah.
So now let's just try the way that we think it's going to work. And everyone knows they tried. I like the Buffalo situation.
Yeah.
We all know what's going on. They tried. They tried to buy it. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try this avenue. Everyone's on board. It's hockey. Everyone knows it's a process. You look at how Washington became great, how Pittsburgh became great, how Chicago became great, how the Islanders are doing well. A lot of draft picks. A lot of finishing not great and getting that first, second.
Washington wasn't deliberate, though.
Washington
wasn't deliberate. Yeah. Like, don't forget, like, those moves that they made when they bought him. Washington's the one example that I'll take exception with, because they didn't try to do
things
that.
Around. But okay, of all that,
yeah.
Would you be the Edmonton Oilers in their situation? Who has always said the things?
There are such mitigating circumstances in Edmonton. You know, you could have. Let's face it. The natural talent of those four kids, are they the right size? Maybe not. But the natural talent, you know, Everly, Nugent, Hopkins, Hall, and even Yakupov. But you can't put teenagers and young guys in their early 20s through four coaches in 6 years. You have to, if you're going to do that, you have to stay the course. I mean, the fact, and in hindsight, I think they made two mistakes. First of all, they should have let Pat Quinn coach another year or two in this situation. Pat was a great camouflage for a bad team. Pat could come out and wax poetic, and again, people would buy into Pat and what he said. And then, you know, they changed from Rolf Kruger. And Kruger was, in my mind, of a similar ilk. And I think that, you know, the knee-jerk reaction to change the coach too quickly in Edmonton had an adverse effect on the kids. Now, that and then judging that they don't have near the goaltending, they really have.
Isn't part of that issue, though, with the Oilers, those kids, Eberle, Nugent Hopkins, Taylor Hall, they were handed positions that they didn't earn because Edmonton, by way of poor draft record, you've documented the draft record, PJ, didn't have solid players between the ages of 25 to 30 when those players are transitioning into the NHL.
How many players on that team do they have that are second round and past?
I think the number was very low.
Yeah,
I think it was one.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think of how many players, Detroit, and we all love Detroit and think of Lidstrom and Datsyuk and Zetterberg.
But the depth that they're drafting is phenomenal.
It's those guys, none of them are in the first round or even the second round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is.
They do have a couple of firsts coming in Larkin and Mantha.
Fair.
What's going to happen to Larkin? He's staying at the University of Michigan.
Well,
he's going to marinate in GR, like Anthony Mantha is now, John.
That's the Red Wing way.
Nyquist comes in and hops in. You know, you're second fiddle to Datsyuk and Zetterberg, whereas these kids in Edmonton, they're all first fiddle right away.
Bingo.
And that's the issue.
And if you sit with Kenny Holland, he will tell you honestly that Nyquist came up a year early.
I think I was on the show, he said that.
Came up a year early because Stephen Weiss was supposed to fill that role.
Right.
And they made the choice of Filppula versus Weiss.
Yep.
And, okay, we're going to try Weiss. And then Weiss didn't work out, then got hurt. And then they go to the well with the guys from Grand Rapids.
Tampa's a great story. I just mentioned Detroit, but there are a lot similar Detroit and Tampa Bay.
Sure. I mean, Tyler Johnson.
They have all these young kids come in, but they have players in the roles ahead of them that they can almost not go through the motions, but learn while going through the motions and while the other person takes all the heat.
Yeah, I think part of that is, too, they had John Cooper as their coach in the American Hockey League. And if you look at a lot of those guys that are succeeding at the NHL level now, they all started with John Cooper in Norfolk, and they had that marvelous run.
Some of them did.
I'm not saying all of them, John. But, I mean, plenty of those players were nurtured by John Cooper. Now, it always helps when you have the goaltender. That erases a lot of mistakes. And Steven Stamkos snapping in 50, that helps, too.
Victor Hedman playing better.
And all of a sudden, Kucherov's outstanding. You mentioned Tyler Johnson and Andre Platt and Dolek Nabut. Cedric Paquette just scored a hat trick last night. Like, how many young snipers can one team have?
You know what? And I really love what Yzerman did this summer. The people that he addressed after losing the Canadiens last year, he went out and got a backup goalie. He went out and got added to his defense, picks up Stroman and Garrison. Goes and adds to his depth up front. To win, you need those four lines. He goes and picks up a 6'5" Boyle as your fourth line center. Mm-hmm. He gets depth at every position. And it helps those young kids in that role, that sophomore slump, it's been nicknamed in sports.
Yeah.
Just, it's not all on you. We still have all these other positions that we've helped and made deeper. And it just, look at them. No pressure on them. And they're the, I don't want to say they're the ones flourishing the most
and
on the team.
You know what? And they've done it by, even despite the fact that Steve Yzerman's draft record isn't sparkling. Brett Connolly, as high as he went, Slater Cuckoo. And still, this team perseveres.
Well,
and so this team has been, yeah. And I think a lot, honestly, maybe I'm making too much of the American Hockey League team, but the work that John Cooper did with Norfolk is paying off the NHL.
Listen, John Cooper's a great coach.
He is.
To pull the conversation full circle, though, what we seem to be talking about with teams that are succeeding is depth. Not necessarily stars, but depth. Depth and system. Mm-hmm. And when the Maple Leafs were on their run-and-gun style, what were they, 12-1-1 at one point in November, December, something like that. It's hard to – it feels like ancient history now. Their depth players were contributing a great deal. Yep. You know, Peter Holland was having a pretty strong season until he got hurt. Santarelli, Winnick. Now you but you can't expect those guys to be your front liners all the time and contributing all the time. That's where when your number one guys aren't contributing, when you don't have goaltending, and when your depth players are expected to do too much, then everything will fall apart.
Is that how the Islanders have done it? See, I did the Islander Boston game last night, and I look at a player like, you know, Ryan Strome was playing second line right wing, and his points per 60 is third in the NHL.
Don't you think
Nash
they were? Gar Snow was just so darn patient, just so darn patient. I mean, Strome could have played in New York 2 years ago.
Was he patient though? Because he did try to sign. I mean, he offered big money to Air. He offered money to a lot
Bannick,
of players.
Those guys
tried to hit fast forward.
But they tried to hit fast forward, but without touching the core. They didn't want to touch the core. Yep. They wanted to add to the core. When you look at everything, I mean, we've all over the years marveled at how Garth has kept his job, but at the same time, his honesty about situations. I mean, you really screwed up the Vanek thing. You know what? I thought we had a chance. I made a deal. I gambled. It didn't pay off. But that's what you're supposed to do in this business. You're supposed to look like you want to win. We wanted to win at that point. Mm-hmm. But they didn't. I mean, when they made the Vanek deal, really, in the end, the assets that they were starting to nurture and build, they didn't get rid of any of those guys. There was no Strome going anywhere. There was no Opozo going anywhere.
DeHaan, Hamonic, all those guys.
That core, they made a conscious decision to live with the core, build with the core, and go from there. Then they would fill with free agents. That's what they did with Halak and Goal. That's what they've done with a few of the other. Brock Nelson, Brock Nelson.
Draft pick. He looked like Maurice Richard earlier on this season.
But he's still playing okay.
Third line center. He's
Kuhlman,
playing fine,
Grabowski,
thank you very much.
Out of the second line.
Again, you know, fill with free agents at the appropriate time, but you know, draft with your core.
You know, you mentioned that Merlot line for Boston. You know, no Sean Thornton anymore. Yeah. It's sort of a different squad, and they've had to adjust. Maybe the new Merlot line, as it was called in Boston, is what the Islanders have. Matt Molson, Casey Cizikas, and Cal Clutterbuck.
Oh, they're good.
Is that the new Merlot line in the NHL? And you look at Cizikas, blocking shots, limping off, scoring a clutch goal here and there. Matt Molson hitting everything that moves.
You know, there was a time in Clutterbuck, there was a time that everybody thought that Chuck Fletcher stole Nino Niederreiter from the Islanders for Clutterbuck. I'm not, and when if you sit and talk with Chuck now, he says, you know, we're missing a little grit. We need a little grit. You know who they're missing? Clutterbuck.
Clutterbuck, yeah.
You know, Clutterbuck.
Oh, they're missing saves too, John. That's been a big one.
No, that's all. We fixed that.
Oh, Ben Bishop.
Devin Dubnyk.
Devin Dubnyk. That's right. Big shout out last night.
Yeah, another one. You know, I think there's probably a little more skill. And Islander fans don't tweet, okay? I think there's a little more skill with
preemptive strike, John.
I'm getting used to saying that. With Paye, Campbell, and Thornton, I think there's a little more skill, a little more ability to score, particularly Daniel Paye, than with Martin, Clutterbuck, and Cizikas. But they're fun to watch.
I don't know, man. Don't sleep on Cizikas. I like this player a lot.
You know, I'm going back to your full circle, going way back to the full circle, back to the Leafs.
Yeah.
And one of the things that they're missing is what Clutterbuck has added to the Islanders, what Minnesota might be missing, is there's no more fighting like there used to be.
No.
The change of tempo in a game is that cycle shift down low now. and creating some energy with some physical play, some hits, some whatever, what Clutterbuck brings to that home crowd. There's not enough of it on some teams. And it's hard to change the momentum. And that's when you look at guys, you know, it's hard nowadays to change momentum. You got to do it with a cycle, with a drive in the net, with keeping pressure in zone for like 30 seconds.
Right.
And the crowd gets into it. The other way is from some big hits. And Toronto had that opportunity a couple of times with some of their leaders, and they didn't do it. If they don't do it, and they don't have the – I didn't want to go back to their fourth line that they had a year before.
Yep.
It's hard nowadays to change momentum in a hockey game the way we used to.
The thing is, if you want to go back to the Maple Leaf example, could Oren McLaren even keep up to change the momentum of a game anymore?
No, but the fact
– how do you change momentum when, you know, you're existing in the vacuum of the bullet? Here's the bullet, and you're back here.
Mm-hmm. John Scott's playing. We talked about
– that's the freak in the NHL. I can figure out. There's a fourth line left winger in San Jose who's 6 foot a million.
Yeah.
He's still playing.
How much did he play last night? Come on.
Oh, no, he
doesn't
played.
It does matter.
Look, third period, I bet he played a bunch because San Jose laid a whooping on the Anaheim Ducks, and man, did Ilya Brizgalov need to get out of that net quick. And there's another goaltending controversy right there, again, for Bruce Boudreau.
Has to be the last one.
Yeah, no kidding.
11-23. He was minus one, two shots.
How much did he play in the third period? Because that was a 6-1 game going into the third.
He won everything.
Yeah, let's baby step it here.
Anaheim's an interesting case right now. 70 points, tops in the NHL, but they got a stamp put on last night by the San Jose Sharks, and a lot of it is the goaltending wasn't there. They started Brizgalov. They play Chicago tonight, so they wanted to rest Frederik Andersen. A sixth spot goes in on Brizgalov, so they bring in Frederik Andersen, end of the second period, and now tonight they face off against the Hawks. And now all of a sudden people are saying, if Anaheim wants to have a run, stop me if you've heard this before about a Bruce Boudreau coach team, they're going to need another goaltender.
Yeah, will John Gibson ever be back?
So it
will
was a
John
great, it was
Gibson
a,
ever be back?
The moment they made the move for Brizgalov, I said to myself, the Gibson thing is serious.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Well, yeah, I'm shocked that anybody would sign Brizgalov. Period. You know,
what does that tell you about John Gibson?
I know. No, you're right.
I wrestle bears. You had some awesome.
Oh, yeah, Siberian tigers and bears. Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic guy.
Yeah. He had some amazing lines. I mean, that 24/7 that was put on for those the outdoor classics were that was some good TV.
Every week.
It was some good TV.
It was the Brizgalov
show,
yeah.
Let's forget about the hockey game. Let's just try and get Brizgalov in the corner and talk to him about the stars or the moon or walking through the jungle.
Yeah.
It was quality TV.
Ask Brizgalov about string theory and quantum physics.
Truly, ask the Flyers how really that show helped them.
I don't think it's helped anyone.
Built characters, there's no question.
That's what they wanted out of the series. Speaking of the Philadelphia Flyers, beat the Winnipeg Jets last night. Tomorrow they face off against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Wayne Simmonds, again, you talk about, you know, the new type of big forward.
Yep.
Okay, the new type of power forward, you know, isn't the big hulking Cam Neely. It's a leaner Wayne Simmonds.
Boy, he's a good player.
That type, he's a fantastic
player. By the way, who did they trade for him?
Who did they move out for Wayne Simmonds to L.A.?
Some guy named Richard.
Oh, yeah, that was that deal.
Braden Shen and Wayne Simmonds. Yeah. In the end, it ended up being Braden Shen and Wayne Simmonds for Mike Richards. So, now Richards has won 2 Stanley Cups and living in Manchester, New Hampshire for now. But
and not paying escrow, thank you very much.
Yeah, got a raise to go to the American League.
The American League and got a raise.
Yeah.
It's Wade Redden all over again.
That's when L.A. did that, that's when they said, okay, we're serious now. And they missed the boat last year. But, I mean, they're just on the outside looking in right now. I think they're ninth.
Big comeback win against Chicago on
huge
Wednesday night.
Yep.
That was a big win.
They're in. They're in ninth, but by them making a decision.
Okay, so they're in. Who's out?
They're in. Oh, boy.
Calgary?
I don't want to say Calgary, but
I want to say Winnipeg? Take a pick.
It's not Winnipeg.
No, it's not Winnipeg. It's Calgary or Vancouver. I just don't think.
I'll tell you what, the Western race is going to be wild.
Okay, so hang on. Can we all agree that the East is buttoned up outside of who's where?
For right now, for those that are listening, Boston's in seventh with 59, Rangers with 58, then goes all the way to ninth place team, which is Florida, which is 6 points out.
And that was a big win for Florida last night against CBJ because they just lost 5 in a row. They needed that win.
And Philly's at 49, which is 9 points out, which is a long run. Elliot Friedman did a bunch of stats a couple years ago. In November, if you're out by 5 points, it's tough to get in. In February, it's even harder.
So are we all cool that the East is buttoned up?
I think so. It's just a question of who sits in the wild cards and who sits in the locked in position.
Well, John, you said something earlier. You know, if you win five in a row, you don't. Really...
Well, that's the problem. I mean, the 3-point game and this league is so tight right now.
Mm-hmm.
If you can actually win five straight games and make no position change, make no movement to the guy ahead of you. But if you lose five, you are in big trouble. And then how do you get it back? And I'm not sure you can. By the way, you talk about those stats. The amount of teams, when the teams play on U.S. Thanksgiving, so the last Thursday in November, it's over 80% of the teams that play that are in playoff positions that day end up being in the playoff positions. Since the work stoppage of 2004, only one team has defied that more than once, and it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. They defied it twice. They were in a playoff position those days twice.
Really, eh?
And they're going to do it for a third time.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to do it for a third time since 2004-05.
10 points out on the Rangers.
Yeah.
And the Rangers have four games in hand.
Quickly, we'll get ahead of break before we do. To the Western Conference, that's not wrapped up. The Los Angeles Kings, again, are that terrifying squad. And here's a dilemma if you're the Anaheim Ducks. It's fine that you're tops in the Pacific, and that's great. Tops in the Western Conference, tops in the NHL. Mm-hmm. But what if your reward is the Los Angeles Kings?
Well, which happened, 4 years ago, right? Yeah. When the Kings won their first cup 3 years ago. That's the tough part about being in this in the West. The other thing is that Colorado, everybody threw Colorado out with the baby.
Yep.
Before
I did too.
They're back in the race. They are going to be a factor. I think the win last night by Minnesota, I think that they can go on a tear. They are closer than everybody realizes, and the pressure for those two wild card spots in the West is going to be dynamite. It's going to be electric all the way to the first week in April. And the problem is, if you look today, the two teams that I think that are should be walking on eggshells are Calgary and Vancouver. I agree with PJ.
Who is the favorite in the West? If you finish eighth and lose to, and you're the first place, lose to the eighth, is it an upset?
Really? Not if it's Los Angeles. No LA. One considers L.A. can come in eighth, and everyone says, all they got to do is get there.
It is going to
matter
awesome.
Where a Stanley Cup favorite. We got to hit a break.
Right.
When we come back, you will hear trumpets. Yes, it is the Hockey Central at noon. 3 stars around the table with PJ Stock, John Shannon, and in for Darren Millard, I'm Jeff Merrick. Back on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, across the Sportsnet TV network, and a simulcast on the NHL Network stateside. Back in a moment.
You thought Millard, Kiprios, and McLean worked a lot already. Now they'll work anytime you want. Subscribe to the Hockey Central podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to the program. Jeff Merrick in for Darren Millard along the Sportsnet radio network and television as well. Simulcast on NHL Network stateside. John Shannon, PJ Stock, and in from the, what shall we call this? Maybe the Department of Corrections, namely one of our producers here at Sportsnet, Scott Carruthers, Butter. It's Matt Martin, not Matt Molson, on the left side of that fourth line dummy.
Right, dummy.
Yeah, so that's me,
And I'm also being called a dummy by every Montreal Canadiens fan on Twitter, which you could tweet
me at. But
you
get that when you walk down, like, St. Catherine Street.
In Canada.
You know, I'm glad I don't get...
that's so you guys can get a hold of me.
I'm glad I don't get criticized on Twitter.
Twitter's awesome.
We all take bullets on Twitter, jeez.
You owl-faced.
If I'm only making one mistake a show, so far so good, but I still have time to drive some mistakes into the
ditch. Let's get some.
So let's make some more.
Let's get some mistakes going here on the program. Topic next up for grabs. Let's discuss a little bit about the Chicago Blackhawks in action tonight against the Anaheim Ducks, coming off a loss against the Los Angeles Kings, which really shouldn't surprise anybody considering how the Kings can turn it on. But where are you guys at on Chicago right now? I've maintained for pretty much the entire season that this is the best team that I've... When they're on, this is the best team in the NHL, period.
Can you see a team beating them 4 games out of 7? That's the only thing, like, I look... You know, there's Nashville, St. Louis has made a big step, but now they have that depth scoring. They are, you know, Shattenkirk's having a great year on the back end.
It was his birthday yesterday. Eh?
He scored a goal.
Scored a beautiful goal. But can anyone beat Chicago 4 games out of 7? That is the question.
If they're healthy, I don't think so.
They have swagger, confidence, experience, and the talent.
I think the biggest thing for them, the biggest challenge for the Blackhawks over an 82-game schedule, there's a couple, is that Joel has to find a way to make sure that he, and I know he knows this, not to grind them. And so by the time they get to April, that they're not fed up with the coach. Mm-hmm. They're not ticked off enough that they're just rolling their eyes and not paying attention.
Okay, pause
on
that.
And I think he's learned that. I do think he's learned that.
Pause on that for 1 second. As a player, how many coaches did you have, PJ, who knew when it was time to not hear their voice? In the Chicago example, how many times do you think Joel Quenneville says, you know what, they're probably done with my voice. My kitchen, get in there.
Or no voice. Or no voice.
Yeah.
Good point. It's veteran leadership is so important. Right. So important. Because the coach, his room's just outside, you know, the team locker room. He hears what's going on. If you have a good leader or a good group of leaders, they come in and control the situation before the coach does. And I think that's the most important thing, because let's just go back. Oh, geez, I don't want to do this, but to get into Toronto. But if Carlisle comes in and is giving the same message all the time, it starts to fall on deaf ears. It does. So you need, I think one of the best teams I played on was in Boston. Sean O'Donnell, Don Sweeney, Glenn Murray, Billy Guerin, Marty LaPointe.
It's funny. At least four of those guys are in management of teams right now.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, it was.
Sorry, John. Finish playing Chicago.
And the second thing is that now that Stan Bowman has an unenviable task with, you know, how tight they are to the cap, to tweak. And what you don't want, when you tweak, what you don't want to do is ruin team chemistry. Are they comfortable enough with David Rundblad as their sixth defenseman? Are they comfortable enough?
Trade Adam Clendenning yesterday.
Well, are they comfortable enough that Chris Versteeg will be healthy by the time the playoffs come? Because he was a big, he had a good comeback in Chicago this year. And
absolutely.
Or do you dare take the chance and move one element of this good family to think you're going to get that, you know, that depth forward or a quality defenseman, and then it upsets the room? I mean, because I that's where I think the Blackhawks are. That's how good they are, is how much do you tweak? For instance, I think, and I'm not sure Doug Armstrong will ever admit this, that's what they screwed up in St. Louis last year.
Well,
they changed the chemistry. They changed too much. Mm-hmm. And that's what hurt them in the first round of the playoffs.
Ron McLean, I'm sorry about this. John, is
Brad Richards. There you go.
Are you confident as him being your guy or on your second line, or part of your top six for a 2-month stretch?
Well, I may not be as comfortable with him.
Ron's going to hit me in the head.
I'm a huge Andrew Shaw fan. Yeah. I think.
But you like him as a second line center?
No, I don't. But if I can move Shaw's minutes up and Richard's minutes down a little bit, so you have a two A, a two B. Or in that situation, you know, Brad Richards has proved to me this year he can still play the game.
Yep,
that's the one thing from his Ranger time. But I think if you manage his minutes, I don't think he's going to hurt you. I really don't. A couple of check points in the third period in L.A., but I don't think they can change the chemistry.
Hanzus was the guy. They have so much.
But he was a comeback guy. See, Hanzus was a Blackhawk.
Yeah.
You know, so he was familiar with a few of the guys, and they were familiar with him. That's the real challenge of being a manager right now, is do you dare make that one move? We think we're going to get over the top. How many times do teams make that move on March the 2nd, and they think that it's going to put them over the top, and it doesn't work out? And that's what a manager between now and that trade deadline day in March, that's the challenge he's going to have.
I don't think Chicago really needs to do anything. Nashville, on the other point, that is a couple spots ahead of Chicago, is the one team I'm thinking they have almost everything.
Yeah, but don't you think they're playing with house money right now? Don't ruin it.
Again.
Just unless there's an injury.
Get 39.
Leave it.
Get the goalie healthy.
As well, we are finger cooking lunch today, boys. We ordered online at bostonpizza.com. Over 100 delivery items to choose from at Boston Pizza.
Okay, do your plug for junior hockey.
Oh, yeah, tonight. Don't forget, 7 o'clock Eastern on Sportsnet. We will see Connor McDavid and the Erie Otters. Dylan Strome and the Erie Otters face off against Lawson Crouse and the Kingston Frontenacs.
That's live on the NHL Network in the U.S., too.
I know. Your chance to watch Connor McDavid. You'll be there, John.
And on Sunday, too. both Sportsnet and on NHL Network USA.
Against Kingston tonight, against Liam Herbst
and Travis Konecny.
The Ottawa 67s on Sunday. On behalf of PJ and John, Jeff Merrick signing off. Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of Hockey Central at Noon. Have a great weekend.